All right, let me jump in here and share some words of wisdom, hopefully from God's word. Have you ever noticed how in the Easter story, there's a lot of running? Matter of fact, if you looked at all the Bible verses that have to do with Easter, they're dripping in sweat. They're just overrun with just a high level of energy. You read the New Testament story of Easter, and you got the disciples, they're running to the tomb because they know something's happened to Jesus. And then they're running from the tomb to share his resurrection. Matthew 28, we're going to look at here in a minute. You know, you got the women going to the tomb, and it seems like that they're in a hurry. And then after they experience the angel and they experience Jesus, they're still in that big hurry as they go away. I mean, think about it. Think about how unusual it is to run in a cemetery. I don't know if you're like me. I don't run anywhere anymore. But I can't imagine being in too big of a hurry in a cemetery, especially before the sun rises or after the sun goes down. It seems to me like it'd be a very difficult thing to do and a very dangerous thing to do. But yet at Easter, there's an awful lot of running in the cemetery. I think it's simply because of the excitement that they had for the events that have happened. Because I think that they were thinking back to what Jesus had said to them, and all of a sudden the things that he had said made a whole lot more sense, and the excitement level was raised considerably because they realized what Jesus had said and what it meant for them now. And you know what? As they ran to the tomb, as they ran away from the tomb, they had lots of questions. And I would like to share two of those questions with all of us here this morning. The first question is simply this: what has God done? You know, it's an amazing question when you think about it, because what God has done is the very thing that he said that he would do from the very beginning. That Christmas and Easter was on God's mind and on God's heart long before it ever came about. Matter of fact, in the very beginning, it talks about that God had a plan, and God was going to orchestrate this plan, and God was going to bring this plan to reality. And I think for us as Christians, just to think about and to contemplate what God has done. I don't know if you were up on the mountain with us this morning, but man, what a beautiful morning. I mean, the sun was coming up over the mountain. We had the trumpet playing, and we were singing this wonderful, you know, Easter song about Jesus being alive. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus our Savior. And as we sang those words, and as Mark blew out that song on the trumpet, the sun broke above the horizon of the mountain across the valley. And it was a tremendous experience. Just to think about what God has done. I love that, because when you read the New Testament, it's obvious that what God has done is a very important part of the story. Now, I don't know if you've ever looked very closely at Matthew 28. It's the Easter story. It's the story there where it says on the Sabbath at dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they went to the tomb. And when I read that story, there's some things that really jump out at me. Like this one where it says at dawn on the first day of the week. The third day after Jesus Christ died on a cross on Calvary. And this daybreak was going to be like none other in all of history. You know, I like also where it says things like, do not be afraid. You know, that's actually repeated here a couple of different times. It said that we are not to be afraid. Now, it's amazing because it says in here that there was an earthquake, and there were angels. The stone had been rolled away. In another place, it talks about how they sat on the stone, and it says here in this passage that the guards, that they were like terrified, and they were like dead men. But the message was, is don't be afraid. You know why? Because what has happened is exactly what God has ordained to happen. And then I love this. Don't you love these words where it says these three phrases in the Easter story? He is not here. He is risen just as he said. You know, he is not here. He is risen just as he had said. You know, the three stanzas, if you will, of this beautiful Easter story about what God has done. That this was God's doing. And that God has done a beautiful and a wonderful thing. And then don't you love this verse that after they experienced the empty tomb, it says, go and tell. Go and tell my disciples. Go and tell the world that Jesus Christ is alive. Now think about that for a moment, folks, because it is so important that we answer this question, what God has done. Because what God has done to a large extent gets misplaced, it gets lost by our lack of faith and by the devil just kind of reaping havoc on our lives. You know, I did something really, really interesting this past week. I went to the store, went to Lowe's, because our kids they're here for Easter, and our little grandson is here, and I thought, you know what? There he is. Yeah, I put up some bird feeders. I bought four different bird feeders, and I bought a 750 pound of bird feed, and I filled up these bird feeders, and I nailed a little birdhouse on the tree, and I bought a little concrete bird bath, and I put it out there in the yard, and you know, I put some water in it. The dogs really enjoyed it, by the way. But and I got the bird feeders up and all this kind of stuff, and then it was like, okay, where are the birds? I don't see any birds. Well, yesterday morning, the birds were there, and so were the squirrels. I'm thinking, I'm going squirrel hunting right here. No, I didn't do it though, okay? Please believe me when I say I didn't harm. No squirrels were harmed in this illustration, okay? But I wanted to, because I was like, I had my binoculars, you know, and I had my little grandson, and we're looking at the birds, and here's these squirrels are coming, and they're like tearing things apart, and I'm like shooing them away. You know, it's impossible to shoo the squirrels away without shooing the birds away. Absolutely impossible. And then I thought, you know what? This is kind of a metaphor of life. God gives us this one, God, our Heavenly Father, He does this wonderful thing for us to enjoy, and then the devil just comes in and complicates it. You know, the things of this world, they come in and they rob us of our joy. And sometimes I think in my attempt to answer these questions, I lose sight of what God has done because of either my lack of faith or the devil reaping havoc in my life, and of the things that come in that complicate the simplistic and beautiful story of Easter about what God has done. But see, here's the thing, folks. There's a second question that it's absolutely imperative that we answer. Because it's not so much just about what God has done, but what God is doing. You know, what God has done is beautiful, is wonderful. It's a historical event that we know has happened, and we relish in that, and we thank God for that, and it is such a beautiful story to tell. I stood up on the mountain this morning, and I'm singing, and I'm around all these little children, and I couldn't help but look down, and I'm seeing these little kids. They're singing, and I'm singing, and then they kept glancing up at me while I was singing. I'd love to know what they were thinking about. But the story of Easter is so beautiful at its core about what God has done. But we cannot enjoy the story of what God has done unless we ask God, what are you doing? God, what have you done? But what are you doing today? What does this story mean for me, to me, in me, about me? Because if you just answer the first question, you are a great student of history, but that's all you are. Because God wants us to be more than a student of history. He wants us to really get into the present day facts and how God can use this story to change you and me. So I ask you this question. What does God want to do for you? What does God want to do for me? I mean, in this story, understanding this story, as I answer these questions, what does God want to do for you and me? Well, let me give you a few things here, and I believe these with all my heart. Number one, God wants to use this story to change your focus. God wants to help you, for you to get your eyesight, your vision, the faith that you live by, focused on something else other than just yourself. You know, I think of stories in the Old Testament, and I think of the children of Israel. And you know, it says that God heard their cry, and God sent Moses to lead them out of the land of slavery. And you know what? It was an awful lot about what God had done, that God had heard their prayer. But it was even more about what God was going to do, what God wanted to do. He wanted to lead them to a new place. He wanted to refocus their lives on Him. You know, I don't know about you, if you agree with me in this. I love a GPS, don't you? You know what GPS stands for? God's positioning system. God created this beautiful little gem so you and I could get from here to there. I was walking through a department store the other day, and I saw something. I thought I was in an antique store. It was a Rand McNally. See, those of you that are less than 40 years old, you have no idea what that is, a Rand McNally. It's this giant book that we used to get to use to get from one place to the other. But it was only as good as the person who was reading you the map, because you couldn't drive and read the map at the same time. Like, sweetheart, turn right. Oh, I'm turning right. No, I meant left, right? But with these GPSs, it is awesome. I mean, I have one of these, the GPS, and it actually will flash up and show you a picture of the road signs that are in front of you. It's incredible. I love it. I love it now because you can get it on your phone. You don't even need one of these, ones that you put on your dashboard or whatever. You can just get it right on your phone, and it's an awesome thing. But you know what's really neat? It's just to know where you're going and understand how to get there. You know what? God wants to use the Easter story, and in your answering these two questions of what God has done and what God wants to do, what God is doing in your life right now, to focus you on the things that are of Him. See, God wants to change your focus. He also wants to change your direction. You see, because an awful lot of us, every Easter, we understand, we realize that we're going down the wrong road. You see, I'm talking to some people here this morning, and you know you're on the wrong road. You know that you are doing some things that God does not want you to do, that you are going in a direction that God does not want you to go on. You see, Easter is that time that God used to change people's direction, because now they knew which way to go. They understood which way was toward God. And some of you here today, that's exactly what you need from God, is a change of direction. You know, there's other of us here that need God to change our attitude. Anybody want to sign up for that one? I'll get in that line right now, won't you? I mean, sometimes we just need not only a different attitude, we need a better attitude. We need a godly attitude. We need to think about the things of God. We need to love what He loves and hate what He hates. You know, we need to treat each other by the golden rule, doing unto them as we would want them to do unto us. Sometimes we just need a better attitude. And you know what, folks? Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection was a marvelous moment in time when God helped people to change their attitude. Remember Peter? You know, and Peter's like, you know, okay, Lord, you want to wash my feet? Well, I'm dirty all over. Wash my body too. Jesus said in no uncertain way, Peter, you need a different attitude. You need a better attitude. You know, there's some of us here today that we need that. We think that life is more about us than our service to others. And Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, when he rose from the grave 3 days later, the religious leaders of his day, his disciples, and all those involved, they had this beautiful insight on what it meant to have an attitude of service and an attitude of love for other people, because that's exactly what Jesus had. So he wants to change our attitude. He also wants to change our desires. I mean, am I talking to anybody here this morning that needs to hear this? A change of focus, a change in direction, a change in attitude, a change of desires. Those are the things that God can change in your life and my life if we just ask ourselves and answer this second question: what is God doing? Not just what God has done. What God has done is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. But it's also about what God is doing. You ever heard of Jim Cimbala? I love Jim Cimbala. He's a pastor in New York City. Wonderful ministry there for many years. He preaches in the his church is in and around the slums of New York City, and he tells this story about one particular Easter. He said that he was so tired. They'd had a number of services that day. It was the end of their Easter day. And it said that after the Easter service was over, he sat down on the platform, he took his jacket off, he loosened his tie, he laid him aside, and he was so looking forward to leaving and going and spend some time with his family. He said that's when he looked up and he noticed a young man kind of lingering in the middle aisle. And he just had that look of, "I'd like to talk to you." Now, any pastor knows that look, okay? You know, you just see somebody kind of off to the side, and you can tell that they're just kind of waiting for their moment when they can kind of slip in and ask a question or whatever. Now, Jim Cimbala, he says that as he looked at this young man, finally he kind of made eye contact, and the young man said, "Could I talk to you?" Now, he said, we have homeless people all the time that wander into their church. And he figured that's what this young man was. He said, because as he got up and as he walked to them, he said before he got to him, he smelled him. He said he just absolutely reeked of this extreme odor. And he said as he got over to him, he said that he reached into his back pocket and he was going to pull out some money and he was going to offer this young man some money because he figured that that's what he wanted. He said it almost stopped him in his tracks when he took the money and he reached out to hand it to the young man, and the young man responded, "I don't want your money." Jim Cimbala said that he was just kind of taken back, and then the young man looked at him and said, "I want this Jesus that you're talking about." Jim Cimbala said that he was immediately just to his core embarrassed by what he was thinking. I mean, here he was just wanting to give this young man some money to get him out of the building and gone because he smelled and he just wanted him out of the way. And then the young man said, "I don't want your money. I want this Jesus." Jim Cimbala said he stopped and he said, "Young man, what's your name?" And he said, "My name is David." He said, "David, how long have you been on the street?" He said, 6 years. He said, "Full time, the whole time, 6 years, every night on the street." He said he thought to himself and he thought, you know, that David is probably 55 or 60 years old. He looked it. He said, "David, how old are you?" And David said, 32. Said, "Where'd you sleep last night, David?" And he said, "An abandoned truck." He said he completely forgot about all the things that he had going and everything that was going on. And he said, just out of sheer emotion, he sat down next to David and began to talk to him about his life and how things could be different. He said the next thing he knew, Jim Cimbala's telling the story, he said the next thing he knew, he had his arm around David. And even though he just absolutely reeked with smell, he said David was leaning against his white shirt. And he said, all of a sudden, I didn't care that my shirt was getting soiled by the filth of this young man. And he said, let me tell you the rest of the story of David. He said, beginning on that day, God has changed David's life. He said, I didn't know what was happening. David didn't know what was happening, but we both pleaded with God to show us the way. He said, and suddenly things started to change for David. He said, before too long, he was eating in the home of some of the folks there in the church. He said he actually got a job at the church doing maintenance. Said someone in the church actually paid to get his teeth fixed. And Jim Cimbalo said he was actually a handsome young man when he came out of the hospital. He went into detox and he got sober. He spent Thanksgiving with a prominent member of the family at Christmas. He was at Jim Cimbalo's home for Christmas. He said, they're exchanging presents when David pulled out a small present for me, for the preacher. He said it was a small white hanky. Jim Cimbalo said it smelled wonderful. He said the year later, David got up and told his testimony to the church on Easter Sunday morning. He said, the minute he took the mic and began to speak, I said, this man is a preacher. He said, 2 years later, he was ordained, and the next year, he took a ministry at a church in New Jersey. And I was so close to saying, Jim Cimbalo says, here, take this. I'm just a busy preacher. You see, a lot of times we're tempted to say, here, take this, when in reality, what they need is the ability to answer these two questions. Not just historically, what did God do at Easter, but what does He want to do for me and for you? Because if you answer the first one, that's awesome. You're a great student of history. But if you can answer the second one, you're a disciple of Christ and a lover of souls, whom God can use to do wonderful, wonderful things. Jim Cimbalo ends his story by saying, it is so easy to get so full of ourselves that we don't see what God really wants us to do. So today, may we embrace the one that emptied himself completely and became a man and accomplish something that you and I could not accomplish for ourselves. And then may we answer the second question and say, God, what do you want to do through me, or in me, or in spite of me? And then hang on for the beautiful adventure that God is going to take us through. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this awesome morning, Lord, this beautiful day. And I pray that all over this room this morning, that there are people that are embracing you in a real way, maybe in a new way, that maybe they've wondered about this question all their life of how to answer it. What have you done? And that's great. But maybe today they're answering, Lord, what do you want to do in me and through me? And I pray that because of that they will find wonderful ways of ministering to you and to your people and to your family and to their own families. And God, may we be found faithful to you. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful, beautiful story and for the reasons that it happened and for the reasons that's still going on, Lord, that you're wanting to use us in ways that are even unknown to many of us, Father, even today. May we be found faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.